Hello, everybody. Greetings to you, and I hope you're all keeping well. Today is Maundy Thursday, and as you can see from our reflection today, I'm opening by washing my hands. Now, this is largely because I couldn't work out how to film washing my feet and get it onto the camera in a way that would work for everybody. But today is the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet that we're going to be reading and reflecting on for Maundy Thursday. The reading from today is from the Gospel of John. It's John chapter 13, verses 1 to 17, and then also verses 34 to 35. I'm going to read it, and then I've prepared a reflection for us on it. Jesus washes his disciples' feet. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave the world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you can have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. The whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said that not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." And then later on in John chapter 13, we have these verses in 34 and 35. "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Now, for the reflection today, I have four objects to help us to think. And my first object is a globe. I love globes. I love maps. I like to have them around the home. It helps me to think about the wider world. To step back and to gain perspective, to remember the bigger picture of life. And that's what I want us to do with God for a moment as we reflect today. God relates to us in so many different ways, doesn't he? Before we think about the human side of Jesus in today's readings, I want us to step back and to remember the God side first. At the beginning of the Gospel of John, it reminds us that Jesus was the Word who was with God, that in him was life, and that through him all things were made. Jesus was the one who with the Father created the world, the universe and the heavens. Jesus was the one who flung the stars and the planets into their orbits. He is God. He was the creator of every living being, and he still works with the Father today to maintain the seasons and sustain all that move or breathe or have life. Jesus is the one who is seated now at the right hand of the Father and who intercedes constantly for us. Jesus is the one who hears our prayers and to whom we take our anxieties and our fears, our needs and our hopes. So the globe represents the world and helps us to have a bigger perspective. And the first thing I wanted to do is remember our bigger perspective of who God is, as well as his human side, which we're going to think about next. The next prop that I have, I wanted to find a bigger one, but it's not so easy at the moment doing everything from at home. But we have a cross and it reminds us as Christians of what Jesus has done for us. Despite that biggest perspective, despite him being God and King, Jesus is the one who laid aside the clothes of glory, who humbled himself and came to earth as a tiny, frail human baby. Jesus is the one who lived amongst us for only 33 years, knowing that he would die for us. And Jesus is the one who, in the intimate, private upper room, showed his love to the disciples by performing the work of the lowest servant and washing their feet. This moment in the story we read represents both a beginning and an end. It is the beginning of the long, slow build-up to Jesus's crucifixion and resurrection, and the end, the goal of everything that Jesus had done so far on earth. Verse 1 tells us Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The unconditional and eternal love which Jesus had for these men and for us was the love that took him to the cross. And here we see both the powerful godly side of Jesus, but also the human side too. The next prop that I have is a towel. And the towel is the towel I used to dry my hands when I washed them in the water just now. And it's a reminder of the foot washing that Jesus did that night. Now, if you're the kind of person who likes practical illustrations to help lessons sink in, you may wish to spend some time washing your own feet if you live alone, whilst praying a prayer of thanks to Jesus for his example to us. Or if you live with others, you may wish to have a foot washing reenactment in your households today. As the supper ends, Jesus, a free man and fully in command of the situation, knowing who he is and why he has come and what will be the end of the journey, acts out the significance of his own death. Though they would not understand it until the events of the next few days, by washing the disciples' feet, Jesus shows that his blood on the cross would wash away their sins. It would be the means by which they would be able to receive the full forgiveness and love of the Father. It would be the means by which they could be made clean. The drama with Peter helps us to understand the situation more fully. Peter doesn't want the Lord to wash his feet. He doesn't understand. But Jesus explains, we must be washed by him if we are to belong to him. And suddenly, grasping the importance of what Jesus is doing, Peter wishes for the whole of him to be washed, not just his feet. But he's missed the point again. The foot washing is important because it symbolises Jesus's death. More washings do not add to the once-for-all saving work of Jesus on the cross. Although we can all do with regularly coming back to God and giving to him again those parts of our personalities, those things that we do wrong, the things which make our feet get dusty and dirty and need cleaning off again, the whole of us doesn't need washing because the work has already been done by Jesus on the cross. My final object that I'm thinking about today, it's a piece of sewing. This was given to me by a friend at Easter many, many years ago, and it's usually in a frame on my wall, but I took it out. It's a cross stitch. I don't know if you can see it. And for cross stitches, in order to complete them, most people follow a pattern. And Jesus, too, throughout the Gospels and in the reading this evening, gave us patterns or models of behaviour to follow. In verse 15, he explains that he set the disciples and us an example that we may do for others as he has done for us. In verses 34 to 35, he tells us, "As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples." None of us are worthy of the love of God, and yet it is his way to offer it to us. And it is our way to offer that love to others also. If I, Alex Williams, your vicar, or any of us are not beyond God's love and care, then no one else is either. Let us not forget that even though Jesus knew how things would turn out, he still washed the feet of Judas. We who have been humbled by the cross are to follow the example of Jesus and with servant hearts metaphorically wash one another's feet continually. We are to follow Jesus to the cross and lay down our lives for one another in his service, humbly putting ourselves below each other and caring for each other as he did. It is the key to our harmonious communion as the family of God together, and it is the key to reaching the lost to join that family. So as we draw to the end of this Maundy Thursday reflection, let us remember. Firstly, we had the globe, who reminds us of the bigger picture of who God is. And in these times, I think that is especially important. We have the cross and the towel, which reminds us of the enormity of what Jesus did for us. That he came to the earth as a frail human being, that he lived amongst us and loved us. That he died on the cross in love for us, that we might have a relationship with God the Father, that we might have eternal life, we might have forgiveness for our sins and the chance to live freely for the Lord. And we have the sowing. The sowing reminds us that Jesus gave us an example to follow. Just as there's a pattern for the sowing, there's a pattern that he provides for us in his works in the Bible. He calls us to live lives like him, following the pattern he set out in Scripture, and that people will know that we are his disciples because of our love for him and for one another. Amen. God bless you all. I love you very much, and God loves you even more.